What is up, everyone? It is I, DPX. Welcome back to another episode of the podcast, DPX Talks, for about an hour. I'm flying solo today, it's been a while. I have to stop taking these breaks in between months, like, for episodes of this podcast, because when I take one break, if I skip one month, I skip a lot of months, and I gotta stop doing that. The last episode of this podcast was, I think it was September of 2024. I had Slash on here. And then the one before that was, a spoiler talk for Deadpool and Wolverine, you know? And even then, that was the first episode in a while. So, it's been a while since I've done, a normal episode with topics and stuff. I was gonna get a guest on here this month, but I decided not to. I do have some guests planned for the next few episodes. Hopefully I get them out, but you know what you gotta do, you just gotta push yourself to do it, you know. I just had to push myself to make another episode of this podcast, and then maybe that I am back doing more episodes, hopefully I get back on the grind. I really like doing this podcast, but it's just one of those things where it's I stop and I don't really know how to get back to it until I just get back to it. Also, my computer's gonna be loud. I don't know why it does this, but it just makes noise. It makes a lot of noise. So hopefully you guys don't hear it. I think you probably will. But yeah, we got some stuff to talk about. Not a crazy lineup of things, but there's some stuff. Some small stuff, some big stuff. There is some outdated stuff I can talk about. There's some games I want to talk about real quick. First up is a game that I had on my most anticipated games list. And I had it, I was really excited to play this game, but with some caveats. And I'm going to annoy some people, but let me explain. It's Monster Hunter Wilds. Now, to put in perspective, I had only played two Monster Hunter games before this. Monster Hunter Rise and World, you know. And I think both those are really good games, but I never finished either of them. And I know finishing Monster Hunter, the real game starts after you finish the main story. I know that. But I never finished either of them, still. I like to finish games, you know. At least, certain games. Yeah, I never finished any Monster Hunter game. But, you know, Monster Hunter Wilds, I felt like, you know, this is the one. This one looks really cool. I'm gonna play this. I got it. I think I'm realizing that Monster Hunter is just not for me. Look, I'm not calling it bad. Monster Hunter Wilds is not a bad game by any means. But I just don't think Monster Hunter is for me. It's not really, you don't necessarily have objectives. It's just multiple boss fights, effectively, you know? And they could be cool, but then other times they just, take a while to die. And I know that might be a skill issue on my part, but I don't know, it's just, not, it's just structured in a way that I don't think I enjoy. I just don't think I enjoy playing games like that, you know what I mean? So that's unfortunate, but hey, look, a lot of people seem to be jiving with Monster Hunter Rise is old, Wilds. A lot of people seem to be loving it, you know. Maybe I should have played with the longsword, because apparently that's the most broken weapon in the game. But, oh well, I felt the need to talk about it here, because I was gonna do a review for the game, and I just didn't, so, yeah. Sorry if that seemed a little weird. I had to pause it because I realized I didn't have, the sources for my topics ready yet. But, I'm not gonna need them yet because I'm just talking about a few games that I've, played. Another game I played that I'm currently in the process of playing is, a game called Wanderstop. Now, it's this, farming sim that I'm not, farming simulators, I think for the most part are kind of boring, you know. I shouldn't say that, but they're not really my types of games, you know. I'm not really the type of guy who wants to play farming sims. But I did pick up this game. I did get it on Steam, because first of all, it was on sale, so I wanted to get it pretty, you know, kind of right away. But also, one of my favorite YouTubers and streamers is DugDug. Shout out DugDug. I haven't taken much inspiration from him in terms of, like, some content, but, like, you know, like, he just makes such entertaining videos and streams. His brother made this game, made Wonderstop. And so I wanted to support that. Even if I don't end up liking it, I just wanted to support that. But yeah, I gotta say, playing it, like, I do know that there is a twist in the game, you know, because it's done, like, the Davey Redden, who's the guy who I was talking about, he made the Stanley Parable as well, which also infamously, I don't know about infamously, but, like, you know, is known for its dark twist halfway through. So, I did know that this wasn't just gonna be a farming sim, you know, it was also, it's a farming sim with a dark twist, and that changes the game drastically, right? I don't think I've gotten there yet, although I've seen, like, many hints and stuff. But yeah, the visuals are really cool. The very interesting thing going on with the story and, the main character, you know, it deals with, subjects like burnout and, like, depression, which I think is interesting. And the music is great. It's done by C418, who, you know, they're the composers for the, Minecraft music. And the Minecraft music's really good. So, yeah, no, solid game here. As someone who doesn't like farming sims, I think this is a very decent game to pick up and play, because it's got a dark twist. I haven't gotten there yet. I haven't finished the game, but it's pretty good from what I played so far. Although the farming sim stuff, I do kind of find a bit boring, but, like, I am there for the twist that happens. The other game I played recently, I just played this yesterday, I recorded a MeCast video with my friend Slash. That will probably be up within the next few weeks because we have a bit of a backlog. But a new indie game came out, it dropped on Game Pass, called 33 Immortals. Sorry if you can hear noise in the back. You know, 33 Immortals is the new game. And I played it, I wanted to play it because I remember they announced that in, like, an Xbox showcase and being shocked that, like, you can do 33 players? Like, that's not a joke. You can have 33 players, you know, and how it works is you get, like, 33, or it matches you with 33 players. I don't know, like, me and Slash had a party and we created a party and played together, and I think it just matched us up with, like, a bunch of other players, but, you know, you and 33, or 32 other players, I guess, you know, you're one of 33, you go out, and it looks an awful lot like Hades, in terms of, like, the gameplay, and I think that was intentional. I think that was, like, the inspiration. So there's just a bunch of enemies you fight, and you die, but, like, you can get revived, and, you know, something about, like, I didn't play it that much. I played, like, one round of it, like, one game of it, and that should be in the video that's coming within the next few weeks. Not on this channel, not on my channel, but, the MeCast channel, which is my, if you don't know, it's my collab channel with a bunch of my friends. We play games together, we, talk about stuff, we do other weird stuff. You know, we don't just play games, it's kind of just like a hodgepodge of different things. But one of the things that's coming to the channel in the next few weeks is me and my friend Slash playing 33 Immortals. So be on the lookout for that. It's free on Game Pass, so if you have Game Pass, I wouldn't mind you checking it out. That's that on that. Now, as for some bigger topics, you saw in the title and thumbnail that I'm gonna have some predictions for the Switch 2 presentation. I'm gonna save that for the end, you know, keep you waiting, unless you wanna skip forward, but fuck that. But, there is one thing, one big thing that kinda made the rounds this past week I wanna talk about, and it's Coyote versus Acme. Now, I wanna say, as someone who is young, I would say I'm on the younger side, at least for what I'm about to say, I fucking love Looney Tunes. I grew up with Looney Tunes, you know, and, you know, a lot of people, and I want to mention that because a lot of people say, like, the kids these days don't know Looney Tunes, you know, I'm not a kid, obviously, but, like, I'd say, like, I do know Looney Tunes, and I love Looney Tunes. So, and I will admit, I had never heard of Coyote versus Acme before all, like, the uproar of it getting shelved, but then getting restored and being offered to different studios, but then no studio wanted to buy it, and then being shelved again. You know, before all that went down, I had never heard of this movie. I'll admit, I had never heard of this movie. And I feel like most people hadn't until they heard about this, and then they read into, like, what the movie is and how cool of an idea and concept it is. And then, they read into, like, some people who saw the movie, being like, hey, this movie's really good. But, so, everyone's mad at Warner Brothers for this because they just, like, this is similar to the Batgirl situation, but the Batgirl situation I understand, although I, a bit iffy on if they should have just canceled it, but apparently that movie was not good. It would have, like, it was, from people who watched it, apparently it's unwatchable. So Warner Brothers shelved it for a tax write-off. This movie, they shelved it just to have a tax write-off. Not because the movie's bad. In fact, apparently it's really good. But yeah, apparently though, Warner Brothers is looking to restore this movie and sell it to Ketchup Entertainment, who, you know, they distributed the recent Looney Tunes movie, The Day the Earth Blew Up, which I have a bone to pick with, that movie, in a second. Not that, like, it's bad, but I gotta say something about that. But, Warner Brothers is looking to sell, this movie, the distribution rights, to Ketchup Entertainment. Coyote vs. Acme might come out after all. So this comes to us from Vulture. In cartoons, no matter how many trucks run over Wile E. Coyote, and no matter how many times he gets an anvil dropped on his head, he still survives. Over a year after Coyote vs. Acme was condemned to content jail by Warner Bros., and one fully released Looney Tunes movie later, the film is showing signs of life. Ketchup Entertainment is reportedly negotiating a distribution deal with Warner Bros. excuse me. That would give it the right to distribute the previously shelved film per deadline. The deal has yet to be finalized, but the report puts the cost in the area of $50 million to $20 million less than initial reporting stated WB required to make a deal with competitors for the movie. Previously, Ketchup stored the rights to The Day the Earth Blew Up, a Looney Tunes movie, after purchasing that from WB as well. The film is a combination of so it's some details on the movie itself. But, okay, so, yeah, Warner Brothers is looking to sell the distribution rights to Ketchup Entertainment. And they're also looking to sell Looney Tunes as a whole. They recently just removed all Looney Tunes stuff from Max. Change that fucking name back to HBO Max. That's stupid, but they took it off of HBO. You know, they didn't even distribute the recent Looney Tunes movie, and now they're in talks with Ketchup Entertainment to distribute Coyote vs. Acme. I like this. This is, you know, Warner Brothers. So apparently they tried shopping it around to, like, Amazon, to Paramount, to Netflix, you know. And they all declined, because Warner Brothers was asking for too much. And the way I saw that was, if you want to shelf this movie, why? If you want to shelf this movie, you clearly think it's worthless. But if you're trying to shop this movie around, why are you asking for such absurd prices, you know? But regardless there, if this movie can see the light of day, I think that is a W. I think that is a win for everyone. Because from what I know, this movie, like from what I heard from insiders that have seen this movie, it's really good, you know, and did not deserve this treatment. And it sucks that Warner Brothers just sees this and be like, yeah, let's just write this off, you know. That's unfortunate because you look at some stuff they are releasing and it's like, why? You know, what the fuck? We couldn't get Coyote versus Acme, but we got fucking Velma. You know what I mean? I don't want to start no shit about that, but, like, objectively, Velma is ass cheeks, right? So that's that. Now, what's my bone to pick with the Looney Tunes movie? Nothing against the movie. I wanted to see it. But it was funny, because I was with a bunch of friends one day, and one of my friends asked me, hey, DPX, he didn't call me DPX, but he was like, hey, DPX, you plan on reviewing that Looney Tunes movie? I'm like, yeah, I'll review it. I'll see when it comes out. He goes, it comes out tomorrow. I'm like, what the fuck? It comes out tomorrow? So I had no idea when it was going to come out. That movie was not marketed at all. And I love Looney Tunes. I would have seen that if I was able to plan everything around that. But, like, you know, I had a bit of a hectic, like, busy stuff. I was kind of busy that week, so I couldn't fucking see it that week. So what the fuck? I would have I still could see it. I haven't seen it yet. I'll definitely see it at some point. But, like, this is what I mean. Like, no marketing. There was no marketing for The Day the Earth Blew Up. And I hear that movie's really good, too. But it bombed, right? So I hope they don't do that with Coyote versus Acme. I hope they actually market this movie. And maybe lay into the fact that, like, you know, there was so much fan demand to, like, give this movie, like, the light of day. You know, have it see the light of day. There was a lot of fan demand for that. You know, lean into the fact. Maybe, like, maybe in the trailers be like, you all asked for this or something like that. I don't fucking know. But, like, you know, I want this movie to do well. I want it to come out. And I hope it's as good as people say it is. Imagine all this uproar about this movie and it ends up being bad. That would be something, you know? But what do you guys have to say about that? Any thoughts? Let me know down below. Anyways, as for another topic, there's something weird happened with, what I had, but, I got some, God of War news, okay? There's two topics, actually. One, is about a week old, I'd say. It was, like, earlier this week. The God of War TV show. I, have a lot of, hope for this, show, because God of War, I think, makes perfect sense to be a TV show, especially the more recent ones. They're very cinematic, you know? So I think it works. PlayStation Studios, or, like, PlayStation, I don't remember what it's called, but, like, Sony has their own, like, movie or TV studio that focuses on, like, adaptations of their games, right? And, you know, they put out The Last of Us, which I thought was great. They put out Gran Turismo, which I thought was great. So, putting out a God of War show, there was some, chaos with it, that where they had to, like, completely restart it from the ground up, like, late last year, early this year. I didn't really discuss that. But now, like, early this week, the showrunner says, and this is the headline from PC Gamer that I'm reading from today. I am not a gamer, says God of War Amazon series' new showrunner, unwittingly kicking a hornet's nest despite years of acclaimed writing experience. So, yes. So that kind of leaves out some details I'm sure the article will actually get into. But basically, he says, you know, I tried playing, the games. I'm not a gamer. That's basically what he said. So, he's not too familiar with the God of War series. Or, like, the games. This comes to us from PC Gamer. Amazon's upcoming God of War series is still in the pipeline after everyone previously making it quit last year. Which, if you've been big into the weirdly decent era of prestige... Okay, that's going off on a bit of a tangent. This is the quote from, right now, this is the quote. Right now, I'm working on an adaptation of, there's a video game called God of War. It's a big title in the gaming world that Amazon has ordered 2 seasons of. That's my new thing. When Sackoff points out that it's a, quote, daunting property, Moore replies, Moore is the showrunner, yeah, and I'm not a gamer, so it's even more like I've never done this before. When asked if he's tried to play God of War, he adds, I've tried, I mean, I'm not a gamer. This fucking ad should go away. I've tried, I mean, I'm not a gamer. I took a stab at it, but I grew up in the arcade era where you go down and you put your quarters in and bang on the buttons. I can do that. I'll play Defender or Asteroids, sure, but bring it on, baby. Okay, well, I don't know, this is a weird quote that I don't know why you're, but the controllers now press R1, which one's R1? Oh, I'm dead. Okay. Kind of a weird quote there. I feel like you could have paraphrased it a little bit to make it a bit, like, a bit less awkward to read, but basically what he's saying is he does not play the God of War games, and he's not familiar with the source material. Now, I want to make one thing clear. This is Ronald D. Moore. You know, he's the showrunner, and he has done a lot of, like, critically acclaimed, shows, and, you know, so he is a very well loved showrunner. You know, he's done Battlestar Galactica and For All Mankind, you know, 2 shows I've personally never seen, but I've heard fantastic things about. I've heard many people call them some of the greatest shows of all time. So I'm sure that, you know, he is, he could pull this off. And I also do like the self-awareness where he says, you know, when told that it was a daunting task to adapt God of War into a show, he said, it's even more daunting because I am not familiar with the games. I do like that self-awareness, because that's him saying, like, look, I haven't played the games, but I'm going to try my best here. He's not, like, at first when I, like, found out, like, oh, this guy who hasn't played the games is doing this God of War series, and he's not familiar with the source material. To me, it kind of read as, like, oh, we know better, you know? A lot of video game adaptations suffer because of that, because they're always like, we know better than the source material. We're not, I don't need to play the games. I can just adapt this and make it a movie or a show because no one cares about the games. You're making it into a movie or a show because people care about the games, right? It was popular enough. Well, now a lot of games are getting adapted, and they're a little bit questionable. But for a while, it's like a game's popular enough to be adapted into a movie. But the movie they miss the point of the games, right? But that's not how this reads. That's not, when you read the actual quote, that's not how that reads, right? It reads more like, I tried to play these games. I'm not the biggest fan of them. I'm not too familiar with the source material. So this is gonna be a daunting task. I still think there is, like, it could be good, you know? They gotta, like I said, Robert D. Moore is a very good showrunner. And I think you need to, here's what you need to do. I'm not saying you have to be familiar with the source material, but you need to have people around you who are, you know? You need maybe a writer who is familiar with the source material. You need some other people in the production team who is familiar with the source material, right? So you're not just winging it without knowing anything about God of War. Because a lot of video game adaptations suffer. Like, look at Halo. That felt like a team of people being like, no, we know better. We know better than the games. We don't have to adapt. We'll have Master Chief take his helmet off for the whole series. We'll show his fucking ass cheeks, you know? Don't do that. If you can actually adapt, if you know how to adapt this game into a series, and you surround yourself with people who are familiar with the source material, I think you get a good show. But yeah, that's my thoughts on the God of War, on the God of War TV show, little kerfuffle, if you will. I think it'll be good. Amazon does have some really good series. They got some bad ones, but who doesn't? You know what I mean? So, yeah. What are your thoughts? Anyways, I said that was not it. That was not it for the, for fucking God of War stuff, right? Because today, there was a new video that dropped on the PlayStation channel celebrating the 20th anniversary of the God of War franchise. Now, first of all, I just want to, this could be, like, both a celebration of the God of War anniversary, but also a little nitpick that I think, you could probably know where I'm getting at with that, but look, I love God of War. The reboot. I love, the 2018 God of War is, and Ragnarok, probably, like, one of my favorite duologies in gaming, you know? Ragnarok especially is one of my favorite games of all time. Kratos, has to be one of my favorite video game characters in terms of, like, how he's written. In fact, he might be my favorite in terms of writing. In terms of, like, the arc he goes on throughout all the games, you know, he's probably my favorite. I never got too into the originals, though. To be fair, I didn't play much of them. But on a story level, Kratos is kind of one-dimensional in those games. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to shit on the originals, because they are very good in their own right. But I'm just saying, like, Kratos in the original, he's kind of like a one-dimensional. Like, yeah, like, he's got vengeance, you know. His wife and child died, right? But, like, beyond that, he's not, you know. But I think the impact of God of War is, like, do you have a character like Kratos who, you know, Sony, PlayStation, like, who's their mascot? Now it's Astrobot, sure. But it's like, they're very inconsistent with their mascots. I'd say PS1, Crash. PS2, Jak and Daxter. PS3, Sackboy. PS4, Knack. Look how that worked for them. PS5, I'd say it's Astrobot, and it took them, like, what, 4 or 5 years to get to that point, to have a mascot for their console, but still, so you have that, but Kratos, like, I think you ask someone to name a PlayStation character, I think Kratos might be the first one that pops into your brain, and I think that says something about the impact of God of War, that Kratos is kind of like Sony's unofficial mascot. You know, every generation, like I said, they have a new mascot, like, who's supposed to be, like, the face of the console, but Kratos, I'd say, is, like, since the PS2, Kratos, I feel like, has always been Sony's sort of, like, unofficial mascot, you know, he's, like, and I think that speaks to the impact of God of War. Also, you get a lot of other games that did what God of War did, you know, there's, like, Dante's Inferno, there's even, like, Castlevania copied, God of War with Lords of Shadows, and ended up being the best-selling Castlevania game, so God of War has had, a tremendous impact, and then even the newer games, you know, very cinematic, and I think that, along with, like, The Last of Us, and maybe even Uncharted, you know, those games, they inspired an era of Sony that, while it gave us some great games, they all felt samey, you know? Every Sony game became, like, an over-the-shoulder, cinematic-type game, you know what I mean? At the same time, I feel like a game like God of War 2018 really helped, make narratives and stories in video games more legit. Like, people, like, it wasn't God of War that started this, but God of War is one of the games that made people take video game stories more seriously. You know what I mean? And I think that is very significant. Now, what's my issue with this? I just think it's a... Let me do that again, even though I'm not cutting this out. I just think it's a bit odd that they're doing all this and there's no, like, collection, you know? There's been a collection rumored for a while, you know, it just feels a little, like, it was right there. You could have done a collection of, like, the Greek mythology games, you know? I don't know about every game. I don't know if you want to do the original trilogy and, like, Chains of Olympus and, like, all the other handheld games or spin-offs. I don't know if you want to do all that, but, like, you had something. You know what I mean? You had something you can actually put out and release. Like, the video they put out, celebrating God of War and the history, was actually, like, an 11 out of 10. That video is a great, like, love letter and celebration of God of War. You know, and I suggest you go watch that video because it is actually really well made. I don't want to take anything away from that. I just feel like they could have, like, I don't think it has been, and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know if it's been, like, confirmed by insiders, if it's actually, like, something that is in the works and just hasn't been officially announced, that there is a remaster collection of the God of War games. I think it's just been a rumor, but, like, I think that, in a day and age where Sony, and other companies too, let's not just pretend it's only Sony, but in this case, Sony is remastering a bunch of games that don't need to be remastered, that you can play on current hardware. The original God of War games could use a facelift, and are not available on modern hardware. 3 is, you know, there's a remaster of 3 on the PS4, and that way you can play it on PS5, but that's it. That's the only one of the Greek games, of the Greek mythology games, that is playable on modern, on the PS5. It's not, I don't even think it's on PC, you know? It could be, though. I could be wrong. Like, I haven't been buying any of the Sony remasters. I would buy this. And I think we could get it, you know. Maybe they weren't ready to announce it, or maybe it's not actually happening. But it just feels a little bizarre to have this big celebration for God of War, and you don't have, like, you don't have, like, the perfect thing, like, the perfect release to celebrate the anniversary, you know. You just put out a video. A really well-done video, but it's still, you just put out a video. I think that's a little bizarre, but still, don't let that deter you that God of War is a great franchise. You know, I might like the newer games a lot more than the older games, but I'm not going to diminish the impact of the whole franchise. You know, God of War is great. Kratos, in terms of writing, is probably my favorite video game character. And yeah, go watch that video if you haven't already. Unless you haven't played the games and you don't want to be spoiled, then maybe don't watch that video yet. But if you have, go watch the video. If you have played the games, go watch the video. So yeah, that's that. Alright, next topic. We got a new game that came out at the time of recording yesterday. A game that... look, it's from a franchise that I'm just not a fan of. I do not like Assassin's Creed. I have made that clear in multiple videos, multiple podcasts, and, like, basically any chance I have, I make it clear that I don't like Assassin's Creed. Look, I like Black Flag. Black Flag was a good game. And rumors of a remake or remaster, I'll buy Black Flag. It's been a while since I said I'll buy an Assassin's Creed game, but I'll buy Black Flag. I'll buy a remaster of that game, right? So, that is... I like that game. Other games I've not played, but I've, like, Odyssey, I heard was really good, and it looks really cool. I haven't played it, but who knows, maybe one day I will. Valhalla, I actually remember looking at that and being like, yo, this actually looks kind of sick. I didn't play it, and I heard it was bloated, so maybe it's good that I didn't play it. But, yeah. We got a new Assassin's Creed game that came out. And it's been the subject of a lot of discourse and controversy, and that is Assassin's Creed Shadows. And, look, I don't want to give my opinion on the controversy. I feel like, I say that I'm about to give my opinion, but not, like, I'm not taking sides here, okay? Because I'm about to say, a lot of it's understandable. A lot of the controversy is understandable. A lot of it's stupid, you know? I understand, like, on first glance, you get, like, you know, oh, you finally, you go to Japan, but you have a black person. At first glance, the controversy being there's a black playable character is, like, stupid, you know? I think that's dumb. But on second glance, when you read into it, it's like, they finally go to Japan, but then Japan's not represented, it's a black person. That's a bit more understandable. But the route that some people take here, I don't think makes a whole lot of sense, and I don't want to get into that. This is not what it's about. What I am getting into is that apparently Assassin's Creed Shadows, despite all this controversy, despite all the delays, despite, like, gameplay not looking very good for a while, apparently it fucking broke insane records, like, immediately. This comes to us from IGN. Assassin's Creed Shadows crosses 1 million players on launch day, Ubisoft says. By the way, I think now that's 2 players. 2 million. Imagine if it's just 2 players. No, 2 million players. So, this comes to us from IGN, like I said. The game released on PC, PlayStation 5, and Xbox Series on March 20th, and just before 4 p.m. in Canada, Ubisoft took to social media to say it had crossed the 1 million player mark. And a quote from Ubisoft, "It's not even 4 p.m. here in Canada, and Ubisoft's and Assassin's Creed Shadows has already passed 1 million players," Ubisoft said. Thank you, you is all capitalized, "from the bottom of our hearts for joining this adventure in feudal Japan. We are beyond excited to start this journey with you." While 1 million players on launch day is an impressive achievement, it's difficult to gauge success when Ubisoft itself hasn't offered a sales figure or indeed a sales target. What we do know is that Assassin's Creed Shadows is the top-selling video game globally on Steam right now. Valve's chart sorts products by revenue, so we can say Ubisoft's game is currently bringing in more money than any other on the platform. We also have early days Steam concurrent figures. According to official stats from Valve's platform, Assassin's Creed Shadows hit a peak player count of 41,412. It's like the same three numbers, but on Steam on launch day. Assassin's Creed Shadows released Thursday. Released on a Thursday, so it is expected that figure will grow as we head into the game's first weekend on sale. We'll have a better picture of its performance on Steam next week and in the weeks ahead. Neither Sony nor Microsoft make player numbers public. Okay, so, few things here. 1 million players for a game like this is not that impressive. It sounds impressive. A million sounds like a lot, but I feel like 1 million is not that impressive. Although I think it did hit 2 million. But I think what is notable is that it topped the Steam chart for, like, and it's been out, it came out on Thursday. Look, even as someone who doesn't like Assassin's Creed, and also I don't like Ubisoft, this seems like a win for them, you know? The game seemed to review decently well as well. I'm still probably not going to pick it up, but, you know, it is, you know, Ubisoft, they are struggling. They're looking for a buyer, and rumor has it they're looking to sell off a lot of their IPs. And I think that might happen. I've said this a lot. I don't know if I've said this on in a video at all or anything like that. I don't think Ubisoft, like, I don't think Ubisoft makes it to the end of this console generation in their current form. Ubisoft will still exist in some way. You know, I feel like they might just be too big to go away completely. You know what I mean? But I think either they'll be acquired or they're going to sell off a bunch of their IPs. Or both. Both can happen. You know, maybe they'll go the route of like THQ where they get bought out by one company. But then all their... like, they shut down, but then their remaining assets got bought out by another company. So they rebrand. Like, THQ basically shut down, but their remaining assets were bought out by Nordic Games. So they rebranded to THQ Nordic. Maybe that happens with Ubisoft. Tencent is most likely... it seems like they're most likely going to buy... Ubisoft is most likely going to get bought by Tencent, it seems, if they're going to be bought by anyone. Right? So I don't see that rebranding happening there, really. Tencent's not just going to become Tencent Ubisoft, you know, because Tencent's like a billion-dollar company in and of themselves, right? But, look, I don't know what the future holds for Ubisoft, but it does seem like this is helping their future a bit. You know, and there's a lot of, like, I don't want to, it's weird because I am, on the one hand, I am actually happy that this game is a win for Ubisoft, but on the other hand, I did kind of want to see, I don't want to say I wanted to see Ubisoft's downfall, but, like, I wasn't going to lose any sleep over their downfall, you know. Ubisoft, they are kind of a shitty company, right? And, when they said gamers have to get used to not owning their games, I saw this one comment on a YouTube video. I wish I can remember what video it was, like who made the video, but I saw this one YouTube video about Ubisoft, and one of the comments said, Ubisoft should get used to not owning our money, and I thought that was hilarious. But it looks like they do own, not my money, but your money for Assassin's Creed Shadows. Look, I'm not going to play this game. I'm not a fan of Assassin's Creed. I think a lot of them are boring. Like, you know, they're overrated. It's like the Prince of Persia games, but much worse. That's just my opinion. I really, and that's why I like Black Flag, because Black Flag switches it up with the naval combat, right? And then they made Skull and Bones, which is just the naval combat, and that's boring as fuck. Quadruple A game, my ass. But I think this... I don't know what the future holds for Ubisoft, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes. We'll see how well this game actually does, because I feel like a million in one day is good. We'll see where it goes from there, though. You know? What do you guys think, though? So another topic, going on to the movie news. I love Pixar. I think you can make a case for them being not just the best animation studio, maybe the best movie studio. I'm not saying they're the best movie studio, but I think you can make a case. I think they are in, like, maybe my top three, at least, favorite movie studio. And, you know, animation, animated movies are movies. They are real movies, okay? They are just as real of movies as live-action movies are. I just received a strange message from one of my friends, but, like, on a server, it's nothing to be concerned about. I feel like I've made that sound a bit concerning, but, no. So, I love Pixar. They made, you know, I love the Toy Story movies. I don't think there's a bad Toy Story movie, not even Toy Story 4, unless you count Lightyear. That's what I'm just, you know. But I think both Incredibles movies are great. You know, one more so than the other, but still, Finding Nemo is fantastic. I even like Cars, the first Cars movie. This second one is terrible, and the third one is forgettable. But one really damn good Pixar movie is Coco. You know, and it's like, it was this great movie about, like, family and kind of, like, you know, grieving and, like, remembering loved ones that have passed away. And the way it ends, it's just like, my God, there's no... if you have a dry eye, you are a fucking liar, okay? It has been announced that we are getting a Coco sequel. This comes to us from comicbookmovie.com. Coco 2, Disney and Pixar officially announced sequel for 2029 release. So it was a tweet from the Pixar Twitter account, and I'm gonna call it Twitter. Disney and Pixar's Coco 2 is officially in the works. Exciting news for fans of the original Tearjerker, but we're going to be waiting a while to see. Coco 2 will reunite the team behind the original, including Oscar-winning director Lee Unkrich of Toy Story 3 and co-director Adrian Molina. Oscar-winning producer Mark Nielsen of Toy Story 4 and Inside Out 2 is also set to return. Disney and Pixar's Coco introduced Miguel, a 12-year-old with dreams of becoming a musician, despite his family's generation-old ban on music, who ventures into the vibrant land of the dead to unlock the real story behind his family history. The movie won 2 Academy Awards for Best Animated Feature and Best Original Song for Remember Me. The film also won a Golden Globe for Best Motion Picture Animated, a BAFTA for Best Animated Film, and Critics' Choice Awards for Best Animated Feature and Best Song. So I'm not going to read everything, you know, because that's just about the movie. It's just glazing the movie. And trust me, this movie deserves to be glazed. This is a fantastic movie. It doesn't need a sequel. I don't love it when people just hear a sequel gets announced and be like, oh, can we get something original? This is so unnecessary. But Coco is literally, like, designed to be a one-off. But this is, like... I love Coco. And I'll probably watch this movie, you know? I'll probably watch Coco too. But why? Why a Coco sequel? You know? Like, what? I have no idea what story you can possibly tell. What can you do? What will happen? Like, what's the story here? You know? I don't understand. I don't know. If they got a good team, you know, a team of people that are, you know, they made the first movie, and it's really good. You know, look at how the first movie turned out. But I just don't quite understand why are we getting a Coco sequel. I do understand. I understand plenty. It's 'cause money. I don't love this new, like, initiative for Disney and Pixar, where they're going very safe, you know? Like, Inside Out 2, that was one where I'm like, where I heard they're making a sequel, and I had, like, a mixed reaction, because on the one hand, I love Inside Out 1, and I'm like, okay, a sequel, but on the other hand, it's like, you waited this long, and then, so it just feels like a cash grab, right? But then you think about it, and it's like, Inside Out actually, like, is perfect for a sequel. You know, it's about growing up. That's perfect for a sequel. But at the same time, they waited a while. They waited almost 10 years to do a sequel to Inside Out 2, or do a sequel to Inside Out. And so, like, luckily the movie ended up being great, and making, and becoming the highest grossing animated movie of all time until Neja 2 came out. Did any of you guys know that? That like a random Chinese animated movie just became like the 7th highest grossing movie in the entire world? Like, that's crazy. But, I digress. So Inside Out 2 is an example of a movie, of a sequel that makes sense. But then you also get like Toy Story 5, what can you possibly do with Toy Story 5? I was thinking Toy Story 4 was, like, an unnecessary sequel. But I think Toy Story 4 is great. It's funny. It closes out Woody's arc, which is something you don't really realize. But, like, the trilogy was Andy's arc. Toy Story 4 closes out Woody's arc. And I think it did that very well. What the fuck are you gonna do with Toy Story 5? You're gonna undo Toy Story 4. Which a lot of people say undid Toy Story 3. So you're just gonna keep undoing things. And you're just gonna run this to the... Like, enough. Stop. Stop making more Toy Story movies. And then Incredibles 3, I guess that one makes sense. But I think you need to age up the characters this time, you know. Coco 2. That one is like, why are we getting this? Well, money. Money is why we're getting this. And it'll probably make... It could make $1 billion. I can see that. But, like, I just don't see... This one feels like... Aside from Toy Story 5, Coco 2 seems to be the most unnecessary of these sequels. But what do you guys think? Oh, it could be good. But I don't know. We'll see. We'll see in 2029. Anyways, I got another topic that I don't see anyone talking about. But, there's an infamous game called Big Rigs Over the Road Racing. A game that is so bad, that's actually fucking hilarious. It's like a racing game where you play as trucks, you race as trucks, but your opponent doesn't move. You can drive through basically anything. Going backwards actually makes you go, going backwards, you completely break the game. You go faster when you go up hills than you would if you're just going straight. It's a hilarious game. And when you finish a race, there's a typo that says, "You're winner." Amazing. This is amazing. Well, Wario64, you know, which is... If you guys don't know, Wario64 is a Twitter account that posts a lot of gaming news, a lot of affiliate links to, like, you know, discounts or whatever on Twitter. He made a tweet saying, "Big Rigs Over the Road Racing comes to Steam in Q2 of 2025. Big Rigs is getting officially re-released. That's crazy! You know, but here's the thing. Someone responded saying, "Hate to be the bearer of bad news, but apparently that new listing of Big Rigs on Steam is completely bogus. Searching for the publisher, Margaret Entertainment, not Game Mill," which, by the way, yeah, Game Mill Entertainment made Big Rigs Over the Road Racing. Keep that in mind. "Only brings up said Steam listing. The header is stolen from Steam Grid database. And the client icon appears to be AI generated." And then this person responded to themselves saying, "I would like to thank at GME." Okay, just some. Oh, wait, this is on Blue Sky. Okay. I didn't notice they're on Blue Sky here. But "I would like to thank," and then just said, just tag someone, "for alerting me to this over Discord. I initially also thought it seemed to be a title suspicious, a little suspicious, but give it the benefit of the doubt before being alerted to the giant red flags that pretty much gave away that this was in no way officially sanctioned." Okay. That comes to us from at Clip the Jester from Blue Sky. And Wario64 then shares that post saying, "Big Rig Steam listing may not be legit." So this is interesting. Woke up this morning. One of the first things I'll do when I wake up is check Twitter. I hate Twitter. I hate what it's become. But I swear I got like some Stockholm syndrome when it comes to Twitter. So I use it a lot. I use it to look at gaming news and wrestling news as well. That's where I get my wrestling news pretty much. But this is weird. So imagine waking up and going on Twitter and seeing news that Big Rigs is going to be coming to Steam. Like I said, I don't think that game has ever been re-released, but it is such a meme. It is such like an unintentional classic that, yeah, I'd buy that if it came out on Steam. But it might not be real. So this is weird. I don't know what else to say, really. But yeah, that's that. And lastly, one final topic. On April 2nd, how many days is that? I'm going to pull up the calendar right now and see how many days that is. Excuse me. Let's see. So we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Oh, excuse me. Excuse me again. So like 10-ish, 11-ish days, we're getting the big Switch 2 presentation. And I just want to talk about that. Maybe look past, well, obviously make some predictions. Sorry, I just moved the table here. But obviously make some predictions of what to expect from the Switch 2 presentation. And maybe look back at the Switch and look at just how insane of an era for Nintendo that was. But yeah, look, I'm honestly, I say I want to make predictions for the Switch 2 Direct. Honestly, though, this one's a little hard to predict for, if I'm going to be honest. Like, I'm having, like, I don't really know what to expect. There's a few games, sure, but yeah, I don't, like, obviously, we're going to get more information on Mario Kart. That's, like, basically all but confirmed at this point. Like, that was the only game we know, the only game we actually saw for the Switch 2. You know, Nintendo felt confident enough to, like, show that game in the reveal for the Switch 2. So, like, if we don't get anything on Mario Kart, that would be astonishing, right? We're probably going to get an official title, maybe find out what, like, the new gimmick is, if there is a new gimmick. And maybe take a look at some of the characters. You know, people broke down the trailers. We saw, like, Pauline's in there. Apparently, I think I remember seeing someone point out that there's a playable Goomba. Goomba's not even in Tour, and that fucking everyone's in Tour. So, you know, that's interesting. Metroid Prime 4, I think, is going to be there. I think I even saw a report that said that would be there. You know, like a leak that said it was going to be there. I think Metroid Prime 4 could possibly end up being a cross-gen launch title. Like the Switch 2 launching with Mario Kart and Metroid Prime 4, I could see that. I think that's solid. And pretty crazy that the one Switch game that was announced in like 2017, the Switch game that we've been waiting basically since the Switch came out, is gonna be a launch title for the Switch's successor. That's kind of crazy. It took that long. But, yeah. Another game that a lot of people seem very convinced by, and I could see this being there, but I don't know, there's just something in my brain telling me that I don't know if this is gonna be there, but it probably will be there. 3D Mario. It's been a while since we've gotten a 3D Mario. I guess not if you count, like, Bowser's Fury, you know. That was, like, a big open world, you know. But, like, that was also effectively an expansion for 3D World, you know. Mario Odyssey was the last, like, fully-fledged 3D Mario, you know. And maybe this is, like, an Odyssey sequel. Maybe, like, you do Super Mario Odyssey 2 and just make it bigger. I don't know what you do here, really. But I can see us getting a 3D Mario. I don't know why. I feel like that's less likely than Metroid Prime and Mario Kart. Again, Mario Kart's, like, basically confirmed. Metroid Prime, though, you know, I feel like that's far and away more likely than a new 3D Mario. But, like, I think it's time for a new 3D Mario. Like, it's been a while. Like, that's not going to be a launch title, though. I don't see you launching the Switch, like, a console with Mario Kart, Metroid, and a 3D Mario. You know what I mean? Like, even so, like, two Marios. You know, I don't see that happening in the same, I kind of don't... I have a hard time seeing a new Mario Kart and a new 3D Mario happening in the same year. But definitely not both going to be a launch title. Beyond that, though, I'm having a hard time really making predictions. There was a report a while ago that a definitive edition for Elden Ring that included all the DLC and everything was going to be on Switch, too. I can totally see that being something that they reveal here. Apparently, Xenoblade Chronicles X, which came out, like I don't know about yesterday, or no, probably the day before, because Nintendo releases games on Thursdays now. That has, like, essentially a Switch 2 mode in there, you know, that is not usable, but it's within the game's files. So maybe they'll show, like, you know, an upgraded version of that game on the Switch 2. I don't really know what else to expect, though. We can maybe see a new IP, you know, but it's kind of crazy that we're about to enter in a new era for Nintendo. This past era, what, like, the Switch outlasted the Wii. The Switch is, like, their longest-lasting console ever, unless you count... Did it beat out the Game Boy? I don't know. But, yeah, the Switch, and it's crazy how, like, one generation changes everything, because, like, before the Switch, like, the Switch was almost, like, make or break for Nintendo, you know? They were coming off the Wii U, and they were struggling, you know? Nintendo wouldn't have died completely, but, like... Who knows where Nintendo would be if the Switch did not become a success. And it was a success. It's kind of crazy that we're going into a new era for Nintendo. We've kind of been complacent in this current era for them for a while. You know, it's just like, yeah, we're in the Switch era. And we've been in the Switch era for 8 years. That's crazy that we're actually, like, it's about to change, you know? Like, we're gonna get a new Mario Kart, a new 3D Mario, a new Metroid, a new Zelda, a new Smash Brothers. I'm not ready for a new Smash Brothers. Holy shit, that's gonna be insane. You know, that's another thing that maybe we could see at the Switch 2 Direct. I don't know. I don't think it comes out this year. Earliest it comes out is next year, latest maybe like early 2027, you know. I don't think the world is ready for a new Smash game yet, but I think the world is ready for a new Smash game. I don't think I'm ready for a new Smash game. I feel like, I don't know why, but like, it might just be like my own like selfishness, because I just, like, I feel like I've gone to a little siren you can hear. So yeah, sorry, there's a siren in the back, I didn't want to... But as I was saying, like, maybe it's a selfish thing for me, I'm not ready for a new Smash Bros. Game, because I feel like I got into the groove making, like, having this channel not be Smash content, and I don't want to just become a Smash channel again, because I like doing videos about any game, you know what I mean? But, I don't think that happens... We maybe could see a new Smash game at the Switch 2, but I don't see it coming out this year. And if it doesn't come out this year, I just don't see Nintendo announcing it so far in advance. You know what I mean? But, yeah. Look, I'm not quite sure what to really expect from the Switch 2 presentation, aside from what I said. Right? Because, like, we don't know a whole lot. I don't, at least, but yeah, that's that. Anyways, that'll do it for this episode of the podcast, DPX Talks, for about an hour. It's good to be back, it's good to do another episode. I'll do two episodes next month, because we can do a normal episode, and we got WrestleMania next month. I do the WrestleMania recap. I love doing those, even if you guys don't really care about wrestling, I do, so I'll do it if I want to. Yeah. But anyways, yeah, go subscribe to me, if you're on SoundCloud listening to this, go subscribe DPX Solo on YouTube, that's my channel. If you're on YouTube, go follow me on SoundCloud, DPX Talks, for about an hour. You know, anything, a like, comment, a follow, all of it's appreciated on there. I'll be back next month with another episode of DPX Talks or About an Hour. Bye-bye!